Here we are, day six. I'm so glad that you've joined me as we discuss the sixth of seven phrases that Jesus spoke while he was hanging on the cross. We come to probably my favorite and perhaps the most recognizable of all the seven sayings. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to the Gospel of John. While you're doing that, I'd like to say that there are two other gospel accounts that specifically mention Jesus crying out just before dying, but only here in John chapter 19 do we have these words documented, precisely what they say. John says, "When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.'" So we know according to this that Jesus spoke just after receiving the wine. We looked yesterday at Jesus crying out that he was thirsty and they had offered him up some wine. He would take this, drink it from a sponge, from hyssop, and he would cry out that it is finished. I want you to note here that Jesus didn't cry out, "I am finished." He says, "It is finished." So what exactly is the "it"? What was Jesus referring to? What is he talking about? Well, number one, Jesus finished the work of the Father. That's the task that the Father had sent him to accomplish, namely to provide salvation for all of mankind. You see, by living his entire life without sin, Jesus was able to be the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the entire world. The way of salvation had now been made complete. There were no more animal sacrifices that were necessary because this act of self-sacrifice was this supreme sacrifice to satisfy the demands of a holy, righteous, and perfect God. Not only did Jesus do what the Father told him to do, he perfectly executed every detail of it, every jot and every tittle. So that brings us to number two, that Jesus fulfilled prophecy. For those of you that may not have seen the previous video, I made this statement. Depending on the curator, there are as many as 350 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. But even if you take only the most descriptive and obvious prophecies, there are easily 40 to 50 that are specifically made in the Old Testament and documented and addressed as fulfilled by Jesus in the New Testament. Things like where and how he would be born, that he would come riding on a donkey, that he would be rejected, that he would be betrayed, how he should die. Every prophecy spoken of the Messiah had now been fulfilled. Number three, Jesus crushed the serpent's head. That work was also finished. See, a third matter that was accomplished by his death on the cross was this victory over the devil. The scripture says that one of the purposes Jesus came was to destroy the works of the devil. His death and really his resurrection now have accomplished that perfectly. The dominion over the earth that man through sin had handed over to the devil had now been won back. See, the authority of Satan had now been vanquished, and for you and for me, that victory has now been won some 2,000 years ago. This victory was first spoken of by God to the serpent in the Garden of Eden, but it was finally fulfilled through the work of Christ Jesus. Colossians chapter 2, 15 says it this way, "When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him," that is, Christ Jesus. Fourth thing I want to mention of what was finished is that Jesus' suffering were finished. This is the fourth and final reason, as we're going through this today, that I believe Jesus spoke out the words, "It is finished." It was in regard to his own suffering. You see, Jesus had spent about 30 years in the earth living among sinful man. He suffered from these self-imposed limitations of that existence. But he was once in heaven in all of his glory, but he had laid all of that aside in order to be that perfect saving atonement. Now, entirely as a man, he was enduring these final hours of suffering on a cross, but this too was finished. He would no longer have to suffer the limits of space and time. But more than all of that, it was all finished. He would get his glory back. Perhaps you remember the words of the high priestly prayer also recorded in the Gospel of John. This was just moments before Judas's betrayal. Jesus says, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son. I have finished the work you have given me to do, and now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." That was the prayer of the Son of God, willingly obeying the Father, but at the same time, eagerly looking forward to the future. It is finished. In the Greek language, it is pronounced tetelestai. It means to bring to a close or to complete or to fulfill. It was used in business life to indicate that a debt had been paid. It's sort of like when we take a rubber stamp bearing the words payment received, and it's across a bill. The Greek English lexicon by Moulton and Milligan says this: receipts are often introduced by the phrase tetelestai. It was usually written in abbreviated manner. The connection between receipts and what Christ accomplished would have been quite clear to John's Greek-speaking readership. It would be unmistaken that Jesus Christ had died to pay for their sins. This is the very essence of the gospel. The Redeemer has paid the price for our redemption. Salvation has been obtained for all who accept and rely upon the finished work of Calvary. But there is even more to this phrase. You see, verb tenses in the Greek language are very important, and they communicate much more than our own English verbs. Jesus here is speaking in the perfect tense, which is fairly uncommon in the New Testament and has no English equivalent. The perfect tense is a combination of two Greek tenses, the present tense and the aorist tense. The aorist tense is punctiliar. It means something that has happened at a specific moment in time, but the present tense is linear, meaning something that continues on into the future. It has ongoing implications and results. And so the perfect tense blends these two together. Here we see in John 19, verse 30, it's of overwhelming significance to the Christian. When Jesus says it is finished or completed, what he's actually saying is it is finished and will continue to be finished. I want you to remember that nothing can take away the victory of Jesus. Nothing in the future can reverse the work of the cross. Not the devil, not you. Nobody and nothing can undo his completed work. For that work is continuing on in every moment as an already completed action. Jesus hanging on the cross at the very end of his life, in unimaginable pain. You'd expect this person hardly able to speak, but here we see that he had the strength to cry out. Jesus gave a loud cry. But this certainly was no cry of death. This was a cry of victory, for Jesus had just won the greatest victory ever. Through his life of perfect obedience to God and in his death on the cross, he had just opened the doors of heaven to mankind. He had finally broken down that wall that separated men from God and that deprived him of his good presence. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to Christ that it is finished. Father God, I thank you that you have completed that work, that it is done once for all. We have access into your holy place, into communion with you. Father, I thank you for that work, Lord, and how we look forward to seeing you face to face and beholding you in all your glory once again. We praise you. And it's in the name of Jesus that we too can walk in the authority. It's in the name of Jesus that we too have victory over death and over sin. The devil has defeated. And we thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus, for completely fulfilling that work. It's in your name we pray. Amen.